Welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast. For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
This is Lingua Franca. I'm Maria Zylstra. And if you saw a sign advising, after first, under, on, do riding with civility, could you do it? What about keep your legs, no running? Or in a restaurant that had invited you in with a sign saying, welcome the foreign friend, come. Perhaps you'd like to try the temple explodes the chicken cube as advertised on the menu. Or maybe you'd prefer the man-wife lung slice. This is Chinglish, the expression of English words in a peculiarly Chinese way, such as the sign seen on the lawn in a public park that pleads, show mercy to the slender grass. And Oliver Lutz Radke, a German sinologist, has made a study of the phenomenon that many assume is just wrong English. But he begs to differ in his book called Chinglish, Found in Translation, as well as on his website and blog that are open to your contributions, pictorial and otherwise. Currently based in Singapore, he was headhunted after impressing the judges who saw him perform as the leader of the Heidelberg team in the 2005 Chinese language debating contest that's held biennially in Singapore and Beijing, in which prestigious universities worldwide are invited to compete. And now he's just finished the 12-month contract he landed, reporting for the Chinese language section of the state-run television news service in Singapore, a job that he's the very first long nose ever to have performed there. Ain't that right, Oliver?
Exactly. I'm the first big nose, and I think it was a premiere for them and for me as well, so it was something new and exciting for both sides.
Now, on the linguistic phenomenon of Chinglish, you claim that they're not just mistranslations of idiomatic expressions, but, well, you've described Chinglish as a window into the Chinese mind. Can you explain?
Exactly. Well, basically, my definition is Chinglish is an English dictionary meets Chinese grammar, because Chinese doesn't really have a complex grammar. I hope you don't get any irate calls from Chinese listeners, but I think that the Chinese grammar isn't very complex. But this makes Chinese a very good creativity booster, because you can translate it in various ways. So Chinglish for me is not wrong English, but English with Chinese characteristics.
Well, you've said that English is a hypotactic language, that it relies heavily on logical sequences for meaning, whereas Chinese is paratactic and deeply rooted in its graphic imagery, so that things sit side by side rather than being internally connected or structurally connected. Yeah. Can you give any examples of how knowing that can illuminate an Anglophone understanding of Chinglish?
Yeah, I think that if you look at certain translations, you might see that, for example, a sentence like, be careful to fall in the water, is a perfect Chinglish translation, because it's sort of a one-to-one translation of 小心掉下水. And the grammar is missing, because it's sort of putting one character after another. And as a mother tongue speaker, as a Chinese speaker, you immediately understand how to connect those characters to make full sense of the sentence. But in Chinglish, well, to some extent, it still is a mystery to me, because they are public signs and people walk around in China and they see them on hugely lit billboards and governmental offices and huge shop signs, and you still don't understand quite why signs of that magnitude are translated that way, because they are seen by millions of people every day. But I think I sort of have a string of theories, starting from the improbable to the probable, and the most improbable thing would be to say that nobody speaks English in China. And I think we can dismiss that notion right away. And then you have the possibility of we don't care, which makes probably more sense because English has a type of PR addition to a Chinese language sign to make it more international looking, to make it more cool in a sense. Then you also have the theory of we don't know any better, in the sense of we have one guy in the company who speaks a bit of English and the others don't. So that one guy who speaks a bit of English, he's considered the English expert in the company. And all mistakes that are produced in this company are just not spotted. Number four would be, we want to do it ourselves. We don't want to rely on foreigners proofreading our stuff. We are a country in the midst of developing and regaining our international status. So this is about our own stance and our own standing in the world. And for me, the most likely possibility, most likely theory is, as I call it, the might of online translation tools. And I've done a lot of testing with various Chinese translation services online, and the results are quite similar to the signs that are to be found in China on public signs. So I guess because it's cheap, it's for free, mostly. And then because we don't know any better, possibility number three comes into play. Nobody's checking, and then you have this incredible amount of Chinglish produced every day, and I think in the future even more.
Well, the other aspect of it is that even if no one is checking, anyone can verify it and come up with the same answer. So, looks good, looks right, must be right.
Yes.
And there is the other aspect of it, which reminds me a little bit of the Hans Christian Andersen story about the emperor and his new clothes. You know, there's a kind of force which is, if everyone's doing it, then you go along with it. Even exactly. If you've got a kind of a residual idea, oh, this isn't exactly right, what my eyes yes. are telling me isn't quite right, still, that's how everyone does it, so it'll do.
Yes, and I think that's the problem.
Well, in your book, Oliver, you tell that Chinglish exists because people travel and their language travels with them, but that Chinglish also exists because of China's opening to the world. And in fact, in the lead-up to the Olympic Games in China later this year, there's been a huge campaign to eradicate Chinglish. So in a way, it's a kind of an endangered language already that a lot of people, foreigners in particular, are already missing and mourning the loss of.
Well, first of all, I have to say that I think that Chinglish is dying on public signs and governmental buildings and maybe even restaurant menus, because the Beijing Tourism Bureau just issued a list of 2,000-something dish names, sort of standardized dish names. It's going to be interesting to see whether or not that will spread to other cities in China, and you will have a standardized translation of the man-wife lung slice in Beijing and in Canton. But I think Chinglish won't die in general, because you have more and more small, medium enterprises, sized enterprises coming up, and you have thousands of restaurants opening up in China, and all the private companies, they don't really care that much yet. So I think there's a lot of Chinglish still coming up. Maybe not in Shanghai or Beijing, not as visible as it was a couple of years ago with the Anus Hospital in Beijing, which is correct already. But I think nationwide and in smaller cities and not so public spaces, I think Chinglish will develop quite nicely in the future.
I wonder, is there any Chinglish that you've made up yourself where you've been playing around with it? Do you then find mm-hmm. yourself using some English, which is
yes.
Chinglish rather than English?
Let me think. Self-invented Chinglish. I'm especially in love with all these public park signs. They're talking about the lawn. So stuff like show mercy to the slender grass is something that I quite frequently use. or little grass has life, or I unlike you put your shoe in my face, which is also a sign talking about, you know, stay off the grass. And that's something you can use on various occasions if you are starting a fight and sort of a mock fight. You can always stand up and say, you know, I unlike you put your shoe in my face, and then we have a laugh. But I think that's always used in an ironic way, and it's not really incorporated into my English language. Mm. I mean, you have a lot of Chinglish which is already incorporated into English. The Global Language Monitor, which sort of surveying languages, said in 2005 that about 20% of the new 20,000 new English words were Chinglish. So stuff like drink tea, 喝茶, meaning closed, which is already a proper English word, or give face, which is also a direct translation of the Chinese sentence to show some respect and to how to translate this. You see the problems with putting something from one cultural context to another.
Where are those terms like drink tea and give face, where are they used?
Well, they are used. They're already accepted as a way of speaking English. I think they're mostly used in China if you have conversations in English with Chinese people. But they're also used with every Chinese community around the world, which is sort of an expat community or in a Huaqiao, a foreign Chinese community, somewhere in foreign countries, in Canada, in San Francisco. And I think they're already so much used that they are starting to make their way into English conversation with non-Chinese, purely non-Chinese speakers who also give face.
Now, when you've been interviewed by Chinese language media about your book, there's been a consistent concern that you've been mocking the Chinese use of English. But are there any Chinese that you've met that have been as charmed by Chinglish as you and other longnoses are?
When I opened that blog 2 years ago, Chinglish.de, I had a lot of hate mails, quite a hard time at the beginning to, you know, convince a lot of readers that this is not some usual Lao Wai, some old foreigner who's mocking us for our incompetencies, just rather the other way around.
Well, thank you very much, Oliver Lutz-Radke, for joining me here on Lingua Franca.
Okay.
Das ist wunderbar, wirklich.
Thank you.
On the line from Singapore, the sinologist and journalist Oliver Lutz-Radke. His book, Chinglish, Found in Translation, is published by Gibbs Smith and distributed by Bookwise International. His online museum of all things Chinglish is still collecting new specimens to which you, too, are more than welcome to contribute. You'll find the link on this week's Lingua Franca webpage. I'm Maria Zylstra, and on Lingua Franca next week, here on ABC Radio National, join me for a bit of hymn singing, why don't you? Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.